Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, Bob, this is the Macko and Cause podcast. Question for you. You take your special lady out for a nice dinner at Canoe, one of the top restaurants in Toronto. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. And all she's done today, before you arrived, here's what she said to me. Oh, is that what you're wearing to work? Like, she actually said that line to me. How wrong is my girlfriend, Amy, right now?
Matt, I'm the wrong guy to ask, because not only do I think it's okay to ask,
uh-huh.
I think she's right.
Uh-huh.
I don't hate your shirt and I don't hate your pants,
yeah.
But the combination of them, they're like a couple that shouldn't be together. You like them individually, but they're just not meant to date.
It's like Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie.
Let's try to find a way to work that couple into every pod this summer.
Sure.
I've been thinking about the globule of blood
that
we discussed, the little pendant of blood.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that got brought up the other. You know what it was? You know when couples, after a while, they worry. Oh no, are we not as fun and and as crazy as we used to be? I'm like, you can't be, because you'd be dead. I mean, it just doesn't work. And then we're wandering around with vials of our own blood. That's tiring.
Right. It's like Homer Simpson when Marge leaves and he says, I can't go on anymore. 24 hours, I'll be dead.
Yeah.
If you keep going, eventually you just run out of steam.
Yeah. By the way, hi everyone. This is the Macko.
Yeah, hey
podcast.
There, Maddie. Good to be here. It's a beautiful day. Masai Ujiri's inspirational speech yesterday. I got up at 5 so that I could stretch. My decision to get the jersey with Ujiri written on the back,
ooh,
I think is the right call.
I'm
going to go down to Real Sport and see if they'll fire me up one that says North, in the arrow, with Ujiri on the back.
Now, is that arrow pointing up or is the arrow pointing
down?
No,
it's pointing northwards.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would say south.
Yeah.
Which it isn't.
I've
seen some really bad t-shirts over the years that involve downward pointing arrows.
I feel like we're in an era now of less of that. Damn Me Too and all the woke people. Because, you're right. Like in the 70s and
80s. Ruining pornographic t-shirts for everybody.
There was a lot of t-shirts that certainly advertised your penis or that you were someone willing to get down. That you were pro, sex.
And thus suggesting that your penis was in fine shape.
Yeah, exactly. I feel bad for the printer because that guy, I'm just going to assume it's a guy. That guy's out of business now.
It's like when you're renting out rooms at a motel.
Yeah.
Just don't ask any questions. Give me the money. Does the check clear?
Yeah.
See you in an hour.
A lot to get into beyond my pink and white striped shirt.
You look like a candy cane.
Yeah.
You look like half. The top half of you looks like a candy cane, and the bottom half of you looks like a 19th century British explorer in India.
It's not the worst combination.
You're like a combination of peppermint schnapps and gin.
Yeah. I bet
that's a good drink. Look it up.
I bet it is.
Let's look it up. Is there a peppermint schnapps / gin drink?
Oh, there has to be.
There has to be. They got a drink for everything.
Yeah, that's
been stupid.
That's being drank right now by douchebags on a patio.
Do you like fancy drinks?
No.
Me neither. I guess it's because I love Italian cooking, and it's just about simple ingredients made well.
Yeah. The only thing I will say, but this is actually a very old European thing, but it'll sound fancy. I'm not going to lie. You give me a sherry cocktail, I'm there all day for it.
Okay, but how do you make it, though? It's only a couple ingredients,
No, it's just
right?
a couple ingredients.
I'm thinking, I'm talking about, okay, now I need a pinch of Cointreau and a little bit of Hasenpfeffer.
Yeah, and there's
I think Hasenpfeffer stew, but anyway.
17 different bitters in it.
Just winds up tasting like fruit juice.
Yeah.
Like, why is everybody always so excited? It tastes like freaking high C fruit punch 90% of the time.
Fancy cocktails is a 7-mile journey for a destination that's only a kilometer away.
So you went so far just to come back home.
There it
is. I never understood that about mixed drinks, because everyone be like, they're so delicious. And they basically taste like the fruit juice that they're based on.
What are your thoughts on people that have 100 things on their burger?
When I was 12, I loved it. I was kind of my specialty was the Ruffle burger, where I would just put the Ruffles chips in there.
Yes.
30, 40 toppings, put a pizza in there, whatever.
Yeah.
But now, no, I got real simple needs.
That's me.
I got mustard. I got pickle. Lettuce if I'm in the mood for it.
That's it.
And that's it.
That's it. Me, I'm like a 12-year-old child. I'm good with just lettuce and ketchup. You know, which is a 12-year-old child thing. But my main thing is, I don't like when there's too many toppings. I'm here for the meat. You know, I'm here for that. I'm not here for all the other things that are going to hide it.
It's the food equivalent of the PVC cat suit, which I don't understand. When people seem to be attracted to that sort of thing, I just find it scary. Like, who wants to dress like the Gimp? Let's just be fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good enough. Let's be fit.
I think that's what my grandfather said on his deathbed.
No more
specific final words for him.
My grandpapa. What's that bit you always do?
That bit is always, you know, I'll say a really dirty line or something, and I'd be like, yeah, I remember I was there at the hospice with my papa, and he looked up at me and said, Mateo, and I said, yes. And then I'll insert really dirty joke, and then his eyes rolled, and he peacefully slipped into the next life. And yeah, it's the contrast between this beautiful, touching moment with, why would anyone
say
that?
So it'd be like, he looked at me and said, Matt, PVC cat suits are too much. Yeah. And he slipped away quietly into the night.
Exactly. That's 100% it.
By the way, I listened back to last week's pod.
Yeah.
And I advertised that you made me laugh harder during that pod than maybe any other pod we ever did.
Oh.
And it didn't really come out on mic.
Yeah.
I guess I held the microphone far enough away.
Yeah.
So I assure you, Matt cracked me up with his Donald Trump chocolate milk speech last week so hard. It might happen again this week. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Do you want to start with the jury, or do you want to start off with the Mitch Marner mess?
I'm going to start off on Mitch Marner, but I want to first start on a bit of a different point here, and we'll get to Mitch Marner in just a second. But this is about the NHL.
Okay.
Every year at this time, we're always told of the boogeyman, and the boogeyman is called the offer sheet. And it's almost like when your mother, when you're a child, you know, goes, eat your vegetables or the boogeyman's going to get you. This feels like you better sign that contract or the offer sheet. But they never happen.
Like John Wick.
Yeah.
The Baba Yaga.
Yeah, exactly. They never happen. So my message to the GMs, let's spice it up a little bit in the free agency bedroom. I'm tired of all the missionary sex I'm having with you, Peter Chiarelli, and Lou Lamoriello and Kyle Dubas. Let's go crazy. I want everybody offer sheeted. Lou Lamoriello, come after us. Leafs, go offer sheet a defenseman. I'm tired of everyone talks about it, but no one does it. I want there to be so many offer sheets that Bob McKenzie's got to drop his margarita machine when he's up in his cottage in Muskoka and is forced back to work here at McCowan in the 401. That's what I want to see.
Two thoughts. One is, our analogies are oddly NC-17 today.
Yeah.
Secondly, do you feel the same way if Mitch Marner is the one who leads the way in terms of offer sheets?
As long as everyone else gets offer sheets,
100%.
I'm fine with it.
I think Sebastian Aho is the consensus best option to offer sheet, because you could probably get him at the second tier.
Yeah.
And Carolina still wouldn't pay, and you get a hell of a player.
But we know it's not going to happen. No one does it. Not since Dustin Penner in 07.
People who follow the league closely have been saying this for years, that there's probably two main reasons why we don't see offer sheets. One is the usual, chestnut about how the owners are all inclusion, the GMs are all inclusion. That's probably true. The second thing is that for the really, really great players, the compensation is really high.
Yeah.
Four first rounders, plus you got to pay the salary that the other team wasn't willing to pay.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that good?
Yeah, I know. No one.
I know Mitch Marner isn't.
Nope.
Are you going to pay Mitch Marner $13 million and give up four first round draft picks to get him?
By the way, we got to drop the team. We got to drop the teen right now.
No teen burgers here.
No. Like what I heard yesterday, the idea that teen. No, Mitch Marner's not getting Connor McDavid money. Stop it.
Okay, so
stop it.
Again, quick sidebar here. Does A&W still do Mama, Papa, and teen burgers? I don't think they do. Now I think that they're woke.
Right? I love it.
Like, is the W stand for woke?
Yeah. The best right now is, you're right, is those commercials.
They used to have the bear. And
yeah,
they used to sell like the family burgers, right? And there's big steins of root beer.
Yeah. And now it's the A&W guy talking to like Beyond Meat or whatever it is, like some sort of like, he's talking to a farmer that's all about responsible farming and the environment. And my favorite is, so that guy's talking about the environment and how we do things the right way because we need to leave the proper footprint for the next generation.
This fish sandwich tastes ethical.
Yeah. But the cutaway to the A&W guy, and he's like nodding his head. I'm learning.
He's like woke Dave Thomas.
He's exactly woke Dave Thomas. So the jungles of the Amazon were destroyed because of the Big Mac.
Never. And then the single tear. And he's like, oh.
I like it when they took it on the road to England.
Yeah.
And they were like, wow, Canada has burgers like this. Like, that was Justin Trudeau's platform in a nutshell. It's just like, the rest of the world thinks we're special. Wow.
Of course, if Justin Trudeau went to England to give burgers, he would be dressed up like an English guard and, you know, and he'd have the whole outfit on. You know,
his kids will all be dressed up like little beef eaters.
Yeah, exactly. To A&W. Just go back to throwing a burger down my throat. Anyway,
back to Marner.
Back to Marner. Just everyone offers sheet, go nuts. But Marner's not getting teen money. That's ridiculous.
Well, is he really asking for it? I suppose a lot of our information comes from Darren Dreger from TSN.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people are backing up his stories. I really don't. Maybe tons of people are. But the most recent one was that Marner could be looking 13, 14 million bucks. I don't know if that's true, but I do know that the team seems pretty silent about their numbers.
Yeah.
I don't hear what the counteroffer is.
Yeah.
I kind of hear whispers that it could be in the tens, which strikes me as 10 with an 8-year term, which strikes me as a pretty fair deal for a really good winger.
If it's 8 years.
Well, in term, we talk too much about AAV and not enough about term, because I bet you term is probably a bigger sticking point than the actual dollar figure is.
Well, considering very bad comparison, but Marlowe has once again taught us that term counts.
Term matters. Well, also, you know, these guys want to graduate from this deal with lots of money for a nice big second deal after having fantastic years one after the other.
I got to ask you a question, because I don't remember, and maybe my memory, I'm being clouded by bias, but it seems to me that on both the Nylander deal and the Matthews deal, the player basically got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even mean that as a bad thing. I mean, hooray for them. But, and I thought about this with the William Karlsson deal with Vegas. And again, it's not apples to apples. I understand that. But he wanted, he wanted the term. The team wanted less money. So in the end, both of them lost. And they both won. They both had to give up something. I don't remember Nylander and Matthews having to give up or sacrifice something. But and that's the part that hurts for the Marner conversation. Okay. I could be wrong.
Okay, so we don't know if Nylander had to give up because we don't know what he was pushing.
Yeah.
He could have been pushing higher towards 8.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have had to have settled for 7. 7 feels fair because it's what most people decided he was worth.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, most people say Marner would be somewhere between anywhere from 8.5 to, say, 10.5. And that's a pretty big range. But if it landed in there, I think most people would be like, this is neither unfair to the player or the team.
Yeah.
And I feel like Nylander landed in that range until he came back and kind of sucked.
And that could
out of
be
the
it.
Gate.
That could be it. If he had put up, if he was scoring at a really high rate, then maybe that's not a conversation.
Steve Dangle pointed out that over his last 30 games that he was scoring at a 60-point rate.
Yeah.
A 60-point per season rate, which is exactly who he's been his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So if he winds up being a consistent 60-point scorer for $7 million, that's a good deal for everybody.
Yeah, I like closer to 70 points.
Sure, but you know,
I mean,
it's not like he stinks and it's not like he's great, but $7 million isn't great money. It's very good money in the NHL, but it's not great money.
I think this year with the
cap. It's not Leon Draisaitl money.
No, it's not, but yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but I need the cap to go up a little bit more. My basic point is that any good negotiation, both sides win and lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I mean, maybe it's because the Leafs have been silent, but just seems like we're headed towards another one where the player gets almost everything that they wanted, which is great for the player, but for a fan, you can be like, uh-oh, this might hurt my team's competitive ability.
But in fairness, if the player gets what he wants and the reports are accurate in this particular case, then the player wants too much.
Mm-hmm.
In the Nylander case, I don't think the player wanted too much if he wanted extended term at $7 million. For who he is and who he projects to be, that's a pretty fair deal for both sides.
Yeah.
Auston Matthews probably got a little bit of an overpay, but he's the face of the franchise. And exactly that line of thinking that says, just secure the best. I mean, he might be the best player in the league by the time this contract's over.
He could be.
He could be in the top three. That's a very easy projection to
make. Absolutely.
So
then if that's...
Marner's not going to be.
So then if
Marner's not that good.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, because center and also even strength goal scoring. That's just, I think, the hardest thing to do in the NHL. It just feels to me that Can you be okay with your cap if Nylander, Matthews, and Marner all do really well for their deal?
No, probably not, because you brought in John Tavares. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing here, is nobody's going to complain about Tavares' deal, or at least not realistically. I heard some people say, well, why did Dubas have to do that? Shut up.
Those
just
people,
shut up. Just stupid.
They're stupid. And you know me, Bob. I hate dismissive. I like disagreement. Except for two things. The anti-vaxxers and people that say that Tavares hurt the team. You can shut up right now.
That's great. They are the anti-vaxxers, like, of the NHL.
You're nuts.
It's just ridiculous. 47 goals. He plays defense.
Yeah.
He's
get out of here.
He's an almost peerless professional in terms of his approach to the game. So much to offer. Anyway, so we're not even going to entertain that because it's just dumb. Let's get back to this Marner thing.
Sure.
Because what I find, if he may regret getting what he wants in all circumstances. If he winds up going to another team, he may regret the fact that Toronto's going to move on without him.
Yeah.
They're going to move on without him. Is he a great player? Yeah, he's a great player. But you know what? Life goes on.
Yes.
And everybody has had that situation. You know, you leave a job and you're like, they're going to be so screwed without me.
Yeah.
No. Life goes on.
Life goes on.
They get somebody to replace you. It might not be as good.
Yeah.
But eventually they sort it out.
Yeah. This isn't basketball. You know, in basketball, when that guy leaves, oh no, we're screwed.
They'll be so sorry if I'm not at work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, if you say so.
You're right. And if he does go, you get cap space, you get a lot of draft picks, and the Leafs are a smart team. You know, Babcock's a good coach. So, you know, the Leafs, it would suck. But yeah, we talked about it last week. It's not the end of the world.
So let's flop to the other side, though. Let's say that on this grand sort of recruiting tour that he's doing.
Yeah.
Already I'm sarcastic about it because it's unprecedented because hockey isn't big into the hype and the players generally don't go looking for new suitors, right? They usually stay right at home where they belong. So if he wants to do it, that's fine. But let's say an offer sheet comes out of it and the Leafs are forced to match and it's $11 million over 5 years and, you know, and it's not a good deal for the Leafs and they don't win in the next couple of years. Do you really think that they're going to look at Nylander's deal and say, you screwed us, William Nylander? Or are they going to start looking at Mitch Marner and saying, okay, you got what you wanted. You backed us into the corner. We didn't get out of the first round again, Mitch.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not going to buy my Jamba Juice with your face on it because I'm a little pissed off. Like, it feels like they're playing the short game for a little bit of cash when really they should be looking at the long game. Because if he signs a reasonable deal, something in 10 with extended term, which is a great deal.
Yeah.
He may not be the face of the team. That may be Austin Matthews, but he's the most likable member of the team. But not if he F's the Leafs into a deal that's bad for them.
Yeah. Like, if he gets that crazy deal, then it's like, okay, well, you got that money. Guess who's paired up with Morgan Rielly? Justin Hull. It's all we can afford. He's playing 24 minutes. You want Justin Hull playing 24? We love Justin Hull. He's playing 24 minutes.
Oh, we're in the playoffs, and Freddie Anderson falls apart again because he saw more shots than anybody else. But Mitch Marner had an 80-point year for $12 million.
There's Liljegren. He's got PTSD after what happened, him having to play that stretch.
This is a silly game that we're playing, but I don't think it wouldn't happen. I could totally see a scenario where if the Leafs cack out again and Marner sticks it to them, wins big, and they're forced to really retreat in the next year or two to try and catch up to what he asked for, people aren't going to like it, and they shouldn't. It's not that it's unfair. It's not that he didn't deserve to do it, but as the great Michael Landsberg once taught me, sometimes when you win, you lose, and when you lose, you actually win.
Yeah.
Oh. Depending on how your willingness to play the long game.
Yeah. And again, now they're one of them saying, go, it's your right to go ask for as much money. It's part of the CBA. But it's a salary cap sport that, and because of the salary cap, it hurts players a lot. It hurts teams who want to develop. This is the world that you guys exist in. And again, I don't want to hear the word teen.
Friend of mine had a girlfriend once, and they were out on a nice weekend somewhere, and they were having like a debate about something. Like,
yeah.
And it was starting to get, you know, the debate starts to turn, and it's not as fun as it was.
Yeah.
And she looked at him and said, okay, you have a choice. Do you want to try to win this argument, or do you want to have a nice weekend?
Yeah. And the worst part is, there's a point where you're like, I want to win this argument. I want to win.
Well, you've seen me and Sandra play Scrabble.
Yeah. Ooh, that, God, you're right. At my cottage, it was the worst. Bob and his wife were playing Scrabble. A, you guys were constantly bickering, and it went on for so long. That Scrabble game went as long as like Monopoly.
Because neither of us would yield.
Oh, it's the worst. I was miserable by the end. And like, do you even remember who won? Do you remember one word that was put? Except for like words like, you know, celibacy, passive aggressive, shrew, you know, like what words you guys would have. Oh,
well, I know what word I didn't use. Victory.
Yeah, victory. Yeah.
By the way, the moral of the story here was that was the last time we ever went to Matt's cottage.
And he did also drive the Sea-Doo into the dock. He did do that.
There's Bob's divot.
Yeah, there's Bob's divot. Now we had to. We finally. We replaced
oh, you it. Fixed it?
Well, no, we had to. We that dock was old. We had to replace it eventually. But nothing to do with your divot. Yes, but for many years.
Drove the Sea-Doo into the dock.
You know what? My fault. I never should have given an adult man without a license. Yeah, go drive the. You know what? That's my fault. You know, it's like don't give a child the keys to the RV.
I got confused. Which one's stop?
There is no stop. There's just reverse and propulsion.
See? Yeah. That's ridiculous.
There's science is what there is.
I want to throw this out here about Marner. I was thinking a lot about the cost of getting him at a big number.
Yeah.
And it seems like the easy answer is defense. The defense will suffer. They're not a terrible defense, but there's change there, and they're probably not good enough to be a real push for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I wonder how much this falls on the forwards to get better. You know,
goes on Matthews.
Right?
Part of this goes, and ironically,
that's where I was going with this.
Auston Matthews has got to play defense as well as Mitch Marner. You know, Mitch Marner's defense was great, and Matthews is bigger.
I don't know if Marner's was great.
For what he was asked to do.
He's a good penalty killer.
Yeah, but just the fact he was on the penalty kill, that's damn impressive. But Matthews needs to become a much better defender.
I wonder if it comes after you sign the big deal. And I mean even just psychologically. I know I would probably be tempted to do this because almost nobody makes big bucks for stopping goals.
Yeah.
You make them for scoring them.
Yeah.
Or at the very least setting them up. So he's got the deal. I wonder if that allows psychologically someone to take their foot off the pedal and concentrate a little bit more on the ice on playing 200 feet as opposed to just racking up the stuff you know that'll turn into dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no.
I hope that's true because he does need to be better. And that's kind of where I was going with all this, Matt, is we look at Marner and how essential he is. But if Matthews doesn't play better defense, I don't think they can be a great team.
Oh, no. I agree. And unlike, you know, if you're forward on Nashville, it doesn't matter as much because of what you got, you know, on the blue line. But for the Maple Leafs, it does. It requires the forwards have got to realize, hey, I love all those D. They're good guys. They're great in the locker room. But, man, they have some issues in their own zone.
In basketball, they've moved away from the idea of positions.
Yeah.
Right? And switching defenses everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you can be a big and you can guard a guard. And that's what the modern NBA requires because the ball moves so much. You need players who can follow the puck. Or follow the ball, I should say. And I wonder if the NHL isn't moving in that direction, too. Not to where it becomes positionless, but we have to break down this old mentality of forwards score, defenders hang back. Like, it's a more holistic approach. Defense is obviously a bigger part of the offense than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And forwards have to now accept that they're a bigger part of the defense than perhaps they've been. Everybody is always playing all the time.
Then part of that goes on the GMs and the owners when it comes to contracts and salary structure in terms of, you know, just there's always those performance bonuses about if you get so many goals. And I don't know how you do a tying in good defense into a contract, but that's always part of it because the contract has the carrot on the stick. And these guys are human beings. And the number one thing that motivates another human being is incentive. Hey, Bob, will you help me move? No. Hey, Bob, here's $500. I need you to help me move. I'll be there in a minute.
The most rewarding part was when they gave me my money.
Ding, ding, ding.
I got a good note from Buffalo Phil the other day, one of our listeners, and it said, I wonder what, if they wanted to get rid of plastic bags, what if they incentivized it? So if you didn't use plastic bags, you actually got a rebate of some sort.
Yeah.
I thought that's a great idea. I don't know how you would do it, but it's more the mentality.
But it would work.
I'm not going to do anything unless it's good for me.
Yeah.
And I have to see what's good for me. That's one of the problems with all the climate change conversation is that the benefit of it is not immediately obvious. And it's hard to get people en masse to do stuff when the benefit isn't immediately obvious.
I agree.
Amy's saying goodbye to us, and she gave you an extra little hug, I think, because she feels bad because of your shirt.
Yeah.
She looks great today, too. She's wearing this beautiful dress.
I know.
Covered in butterflies.
Trust me, I feel guilty. I see how she looks, and I look at me, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
You got to try harder.
I'm sorry.
You got to try harder.
I know.
But I'm back in the gym. You know why? Because I got to try harder. Yeah.
The problem is that alcohol, sugar, and grains are really tasty.
Aren't they good?
Yeah. I want to get back to that.
But you know what? She drinks as much as you do, but she got muscles.
Yeah, it's true. She's in better shape than I am.
It must be all the working out.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny how that works. It's almost like there's a cause and effect. I agree with you on the whole climate change thing. Like, the problem is politicians will, and rightfully so, like I see what they're doing, but they do it so much as fear and these big picture things that it's hard to wrap your mind around. The Atlantic Ocean is soon going to swallow New York. Everyone's like, okay, Michael Bay, shut it. But if you just do things where, okay, if you make sure your lights are off or you don't use this water or, you know, you get these light bulbs or you get solar panels, there'll be tax incentives. If you do those sorts of things, every human being will do it. Like every human being.
And they do have programs like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But
I kind of wish that people's financial literacy was more developed. I mean, me too. Like my wife's smarter than I am when it comes to this stuff. When we bought our house, she said, okay, well, we're eligible for these tax rebates if we do these things to improve the energy efficiency of our home.
Yeah.
So we threw in like really good windows, which cost, but we also got money back.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're saving money
in
perpetuity.
Yeah.
So how did we get down this road?
God.
We were talking about
incentives.
Hockey.
No, and set money.
Oh, right. Playing defense.
Well,
it's like Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert can't walk into a bar and say, hey, everybody, I'm defensive player of the year. Everyone's like,
Boring. Yeah.
You're tall.
Yeah. People don't want defense. You know, they want Dominique.
People don't want tuna with good taste. They want tuna that tastes good.
There it is.
Charlie the Tuna.
Charlie. We are all over the place, but I like
A&W. What's
yeah.
the name of that tuna? Starkist. That's who it is.
Careful, Bob. We're about a minute away from, if you're talking about tuna.
I know.
We're
go there.
Mr. Mom.
No. It's Night Shift.
No. No, it's Mr. Mom when Terry Garr, her account is tuna. It's she has to do the commercial for the tuna company. We're going. No, we're now.
Are we going 80s comedies?
Yeah, we're going 80s comedies.
Okay, let's do it. I'm introducing my daughter to 80s comedies. 80s action movies, too, but some of them are a little violent, and there's always nudity around the 60-minute mark.
Sure is.
You know, we can't make the leap to Schwarzenegger films just yet. Mm-hmm. We're working the Indiana Jones trail.
Yeah.
But the comedies, I forgot how much I loved them.
Oh, yeah?
They're so stupid.
They are.
And amazing.
You also have to explain to your daughter with some of them, it was a different age. It's, you know, we didn't, you know, it's not that we were trying to be really sexist. It's just.
Or racist.
It's just, it was. Anyway, moving on.
Two words. Yeah. Gere Watanabe in 16 Candles.
Okay.
Long Duck Dong. Would not happen today.
No, Donger Needs Food would.
No more Yankee on my wanky. Donger Needs Food.
I feel that that Vox and the Huffington Post would have a 5,000.
The Intercept?
They'd have a 5,000 word piece where the word problematic was sprinkled throughout the piece.
Well, I have to admit, though, it is kind of like when you watch old wrestling and you kind of cringe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm not going to judge you for what you did, but I'm still just going to move on.
No, I'm going to judge you for what you did, but leave it where it was. Leave it where it was. Complicated statues.
So my final wrap up about climate change, I think people individually want to do good, but you need to incentivize. And if you do, I think people will do wonderful things. Sports. What's more important? Kawhi Leonard signs a max. And it's a dumb one. It's Kawhi. I was going to say, if my one was going to be Kawhi signs a max deal.
If this is anything other than solving climate change, the answer is Kawhi.
Yeah. Climate change or Kawhi? More important. No, the question was,
what's climate change's term?
Kawhi gets a max deal or Mitch Marner takes a hometown discount. What's more important?
Kawhi.
But it's Kawhi. And even totally as I was Kawhi. Asking, it's dumb.
100%.
Yeah,
although yesterday, the Masai Ujiri conference confirmed what most of us suspected, which is he is staying here, at least for the immediate future.
Yeah, Masai ain't going nowhere.
Oh, God, I was so happy. I'd be sad if we lost Kawhi because it means the good times can't just keep rolling. But Masai was so inspirational yesterday.
Yep.
Honestly, I almost started bawling. I'm watching that presser, mostly because I want to make sure he's not going. Figured there'd be no other news. But when he started talking about the mentality it took to build a winner here, and honestly, like, I wish they would have played O Canada. I just wanted to stand.
Oh, yeah. Near the end, he was, I was working.
When he's taking questions.
Yeah, it was question, and I know this because I was covering it for the station. It was question 13, and then people still asked like 10 more afterwards.
That really should have been the Jordan over Craig Elo.
Drop the mic. It was, what does this mean to you? And my favorite part was he was saying something about, one day I'm going to tell my kids about this incredible, impossible story. And it was so great. It was this great, long answer. And I loved it. And at the end of it, I'm like, oh, press conference over. And then someone goes, you think basketball will overtake hockey? I wanted to dropkick whoever that reporter was. But that was a wonderful speech. And for Masai Ujiri saying, I came from Nigeria, and from there, I've now, you know, been part of a championship team in Toronto with one player from Cameroon and this and that and the other thing. And he can go back to Africa and tell kids, listen, you can accomplish. Look at me. Look at Siakam. You know, look at Giannis. Look at, you know, this player. Look at that player. It was a great speech.
And weren't you ashamed of our city when someone asked, people are talking about taking down basketball courts because they're too loud. Mm-hmm. And his answer was the best answer.
Yeah.
Send them to Africa.
Yeah.
Send the courts to Africa. Yeah, they'll use them.
One thing about that, whoever asked that question, they're working on their own story.
That's a good point.
And I'm sorry. It's an important issue, but not then. That was the reporter who, you know, just showing up going, I've got this story for the Saturday paper. I need a Masai quote. So even though right now we're talking about Kawhi Leonard and this or that, I'm going to inject that. Like, it's a little...
And it was in the first third of the presser as well. There were really important questions to get to.
Yeah.
And it got sidetracked with stupid Sunday life section stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, listen, it's an issue.
It's not.
No. I mean, like, I want all the courts and the nets to stay there. I'm rooting for that. Not the time or the place.
Quick image sidebar.
Yeah.
Dropped my kid off at school yesterday, and there had to be 25 basketballs in the yard. Kids dribbling, kids like finding any way they could play.
Yeah.
As you like to say, kids are front runners.
Yeah.
They'll lose their attention.
Oh, yeah.
As quick as pie.
They're the worst sports fans
ever. Pie is quick. I don't think pie is very quick. But
the way I eat it is.
Inhale it. Yeah. They don't call me Hoover for nothing.
You get my way, pie. I'm going to eat you. It's your fault. Ow, ow, ow.
What's the best summer pie?
Ooh, this is a great question. I'm going to go...
Because cake's too heavy for summer.
Cake's too heavy, and it's not pumpkin.
You can do cheesecake in the summer.
Oh, I don't know. Cheesecake's pretty heavy.
It's pretty heavy, but...
I'm going to go with like a fruit medley. Give me some like a strawberry rhubarb or just blueberry. Give me a nice blueberry pie.
But it's got to be fruit-based, right?
Oh, yeah, fruit-based.
Although key lime's nice in the summer.
Yeah, you can do key lime.
You would think meringue would be better in the summer because it's bright and sunny, but it's a little bit heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Fruit-based pie.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
You know what's weird, though? I don't care for flan. Do you like flan?
Not really.
No.
I'm not a huge fan. By the way, in terms of color, is there a better color or just look than when you put the vanilla ice cream on the warm pie and it starts to do the melt thing, so you got a little bit of that residue there? It's just glorious. Again.
Sorry, I'm actually literally speechless because I'm smiling. I'm staring off into the distance and smiling. And you know what I was thinking? Pie.
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 Yeah.
Wow.
You know what also makes me smile, Bob?
What, Matt?
Jeff Pollock makes me smile. You know what makes me smile, Bob? Having proper legal representation if I need it. You know what makes me happy? Makes me sing. Knowing that I will never, ever have to worry about anything involving the law, legalities, all those little things. You know, like when you buy a home, there's all the tiny print. You know why? Because we got a lawyer. His name's Jeff Pollock. He handles all of it. It's a safety blanket. And he should be your lawyer if you need one, if you want that security of never having to worry about it again. It's really that simple. It's jeffpollock.com, Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088. What's that number? Glad you asked. 416-777-0088.
That was good.
Yeah.
A good one today. I give that one a solid 7.8. out of 10. You know I'm a tough marker.
You are a tough marker. Your daughter's going to love that when you're getting her to play
piano.
We're already there.
We're already there.
Yeah. Don't play Scrabble with her.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Masai needs to make a move, even if Kawhi stays? Or is it good enough to bring the band back as is?
It depends on, do you think what we saw from Siakam? That was a huge jump from year two to what he did this year. If you believe there's even more. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as year two to year three. But if you believe there's something more, because the one thing that was missing from the Raptors in the playoffs, but they were, hey, they won it all and they figured it out. But you would have liked to have a consistent second scorer who, you know, didn't do it one game and then off for a game, one that would do it three out of every five games. You wanted that. And do you believe Siakam can do that? Do you believe OG Anunoby has a Pascal bump in his repertoire? Then you don't really need to do much. If you're worried about it, then yeah, you could always use like every other team, you can always use another shooter.
I was thinking about the Most Improved Player Award and how it's a little bit like Miss Congeniality in a beauty pageant, in that it's a great award to win. Any award is great, but it generally means you're not going to win.
I believe that as well. And I'm going to push back only because the other day, you know, preparing for the show, I was curious, actually, of
who else has won the most improved player.
And it's actually a really impressive list. And
Let's see. Bust it out.
I'm trying to. The only reason right now is that I'm delaying is
because you're looking it up online.
No. My Microsoft Word. Here we go. It was doing the not responding. All right. In the last 20 years, some of the most improved player winners: Jalen Rose, Tracy McGrady, Jermaine O'Neal, Gilbert Arenas, Zach Randolph, Kevin Love, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, CJ McCollum, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
All of those guys, 10 of the last 20 years. And there's some other guys who are pretty good. And then there were some others you're like, but it's actually a better list than you would think.
I didn't think it would be that good. I meant to look it up on my way here.
Yeah.
But then I wound up listening to Old Town Road with my daughter online. That song's very catchy.
By the way, you made the right choice.
I think so, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you did the work. But then again, you're paid to do this later on the air, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just take a lot of this and I just repurpose it. But whenever I steal something, I always say, you know, I always give you credit. Ooh, I'm going to give a shout out now.
By the way, I'm never going to be a guest on your show. I decided this during the summer months when you're dying out there. I'm never going to be a guest on
your show. Screw you. I was about to pay you a nice compliment.
What were you
going to
say?
After the Masai Ujiri press conference, I decided I was going to do it. Let's do a Masai to English, English to Masai translator. And Stephanie Appolito from TSN Radio, her eyes lit up. She's like, are you going to do what they said, what they meant? She's like, I love what they said, what they meant. Why don't you do what they said, what they meant? And I gave her a simple answer. Bob's not there.
But you should do it, though.
I cannot, what they said, what they meant, which is just where you take, you know, some BS said by player, coach, GM, or owner, usually a coach or a GM or an owner, and you say what they really meant. But the problem is that bit, which is in nature comedic, you need someone, I need someone I can trust, someone I can bounce it off of. It's not funny without the other person, and you were always, like, I trusted you, and you were excellent. You always knocked it out of the park. I needed the other person. That's not an easy skill. And it's not that I'm patting ourselves on the back for this. It's just that it requires someone that with a performance background. And most people in sports, you know, a lot of people at the station, they're better, more talented than I am, but they don't have that skill. So I'm not comfortable doing it.
The other thing is, and thank you for that. The other thing is that in our Lennon and McCartney thing, I came up with that bit. Now you assumed it. And ran with it and turned it into something that we used to do both of us at the same time, but it was so obvious that you were better suited to do the bit that it made more sense for you just to run with it. 1,000%. Now you came up with some great bits, reading Brett Laurie's tweets.
Yeah.
That was yours.
That was a fun one.
I try to think of other bits you came up with.
After a while, you sort of forget the stuff.
Yeah. And it's been a bunch of years since we did it. I suppose we could do them here. But we're not doing what they said what they meant.
No.
That requires production.
We did it once on this.
But I know.
It requires a lot of production.
It's just not the same.
It's not
the same. And it needs to be live.
Exactly. So, so that was the compliment I was going to get, you know, that that bit will, you know, it doesn't work unless you're there.
So, Masai Ujiri yesterday felt prime ministerial.
Yes.
Is that safe to say? That if you could vote for Masai in the upcoming election, you probably would?
Big picture thinking, global thinking, ambitious, optimistic, and justified pride.
And to add to this, because I agree with everything you said, but one more tier, not afraid to win.
Yeah.
All of that idealism usually gets in the way of people. Like, how many people who have these grand ideals that you admire have a hard time putting them into the real world because ideals are really messy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to compromise here or make tough decisions there.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to conceptualize it, to believe in it, to live it, and to do it. That's the amazing thing.
Oh, yeah. Also,
he felt so leaderly yesterday.
He did. And also, leadership is doing things that are tough. You know, the easy thing to do would have been Dwayne Casey, DeMar DeRozan, 54 wins. We get to the second round. We're making lots of money. And, you know, we're winning. But, of course, it wasn't. I mean, when you really think about it, it wasn't as gutsy because the team was going to blow it up anyway. So, hey, go get Kawhi Leonard for a year and roll the dice. But he still made those decisions that a lot of other owners and GMs just wouldn't do because, yes, safe is death, but for a while, safe is easy and warm and it's safe.
They were doing good things before this move or these moves. They were doing good things. They could have easily replaced Dwayne Casey and kept DeMar DeRozan and said Nick Nurse is now going to have full run of the offense and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that he should have been the executive of the year. Although, you know, the Milwaukee guy had a good year, too.
John Horst, or whatever.
Thank you, John. And he's just a kid. He's like the Dubas of the NBA. He's 34 years old.
Fourth place, though. So. Hey, I love you, Masai.
Right.
You're no Lawrence Frank. You finished third.
Someone, I think it might have been William Liu, but somebody on Raptors Twitter had a great line, which is Lawrence Frank finished ahead of Masai.
Yeah.
And this is the guy who spent the year stalking Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. He was like John Belushi, you know, going back to, you know, comedies from the day that, you know, you have to sort of explain in the Animal House when he's on the ladder, you know, peering into the woman's, you know, into the sorority. That was Lawrence Frank.
And then they give the ladder a little push and it falls over. Classic bit.
It is.
Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
From 1920s. Anyway, I got a quick thing I want to throw out with the NBA.
Yeah.
Just to move it away from Masai a second. Did you read the report that Jimmy Butler, they're considering in Houston to sign and trade for Jimmy Butler?
Really?
Can you imagine James Harden, Chris Paul, and Jimmy Butler all under one roof? That's going to be the wackiest train in the West.
Wacky's one word.
Can you imagine trying to fix a team's chemistry by bringing in Jimmy Butler as the mediator?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Like Dennis Leary and the ref.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. I know our camp has been pretty creepy and a little bit odd, so we're going to bring in, here's Charles Manson and Jason Voorhees, just to calm things down a little bit. All right, kids, go swimming. Here's what I want. If Jimmy Butler went to Houston, I want two cameras to always be on, I want ISO cams on those three players when someone else shoots the ball, not them. I want to see their reaction, you know, when Clint Capella, when someone else takes a shot.
Is it possible that there is no fit for Jimmy Butler? Because he doesn't want to be the number two or three option.
Yeah.
And he's not good enough to be the number one option.
I was going to actually say for a second, but this is the dumbest idea, if you could clone 11 more Jimmy Butlers, but they'd all hate each other. So it's not that.
I feel like Agent Smith in the second Matrix movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it depends. Like, if Jimmy Butler is happy, because the weird thing is he really does want to win, but sometimes the heavy lifting required, you know, he's just not a great leader. Like, it's just his thing. He's like Kyrie Irving. He's like, I want to be, but it's hard to be a leader. It's not for everyone.
I'm not even sure Kevin Durant is one, and he's probably the most talented player in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's what makes LeBron so different. And this is what really separates the elite of the elite from everybody else. Like that two or three players you look at and your jaw just drops, the players that define eras, is they're that good and they lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see if Giannis is there, because Giannis could be, but who knows if he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's not yet.
Yeah. It's funny.
I think you're born with it, though.
I think so. It's hard. Like I say, go out and be a, like, it's just, it's, I mean, it's one reason why we love Kawhi Leonard. It's just this quiet guy who, you know, who his first, when he got traded to Toronto, first thing he did was he texted Kyle Lowry and said, I know this stinks for you, but great things can happen. Let's go do it. And it took a little while, but eventually they're all, you know, their relationship was great.
By the way, the Masai presser yesterday.
Yeah.
The story that he told about DeMar coming to find him.
Yeah.
When San Antonio came to town, mm-hmm. gave him a hug, asked yeah. how his family was. They didn't talk, but he sought him out.
Yeah.
Another moment where I wanted to cry. God, I
think as you're I a wish, dad, I know. You get more emotional, which is like, you know, I mean.
Well, Masai is me, yeah. right? Like my, do you have a person that you wish you were? Because clearly I wish I was Masai.
Mm-hmm.
He is living my perfect life.
Yeah.
He runs the Raptors. He's a family man. He's cool, mm-hmm. but without trying hard.
Yeah.
He says, fuck Brooklyn.
Yep.
And people think it's charming. This was the big thing I wanted to talk about from the Masai presser. The question about it being better than, bigger than hockey, you know, basketball and all that, it's the wrong question.
Yeah.
It's an old way of thinking. What's really interesting is, who are the fans now? And what do they want? And what you could see with the Raptors was, obviously, because they won the championship and it's been 25 years since the last one, there was a kind of a, almost like a Torontonian obligation to go out en masse, because mm-hmm. we've talked about championships so much. There was finally one here.
Yep.
But who's the city you want to be? Masai kind of got to this yesterday. He was like, you know, this team is like the good Toronto. And I'm not sure hockey is that anymore.
No?
No.
Really?
I don't think people look at the Leafs and say, I don't think people look at the Leafs aspirationally. I think we admire the Raptors because, as Masai pointed out, it really is a team of underdogs. It is a team that was cobbled together from all different kinds of places. Like, when if the Leafs were to say, we the North, mm-hmm. it wouldn't mean the same thing as when the Raptors say, we the North.
Oh, no.
The Leafs feel very provincial, and the Raptors feel very global.
Well, the Raptors, I mean, that's part of the nature. Well, I mean, you
why hockey's a tremendously international game. There's more.
That's why I stopped. Like, no, that's not true at all. I think what we admire about the Raptors is there felt more like of an underdog feel, partially because, you know, the NBA kind of, oh, Canada and your team, like it did feel, and George talked about it, did feel like, you know, a bunch of outsiders doing it. And it doesn't feel like, the Leafs don't feel like an outsider. They feel like they're part of the establishment.
They are the establishment.
Yeah, and there is the romanticism about the anti-establishment that eventually wins it all and can thumb their nose at American media, at whomever you want. But I still look at, when I look at the Maple Leafs, I still look at a team that I admire as much as the Raptors, you know, in terms of what they do for community, socially. I mean, there was Dubas and Morgan Riley again at the, you know, in the Pride Parade. Also, it's about a bunch of young guys that are working their ass off to try to be better. So it the Raptors have a more romantic feel to it than the Leafs. That part I would say.
See, I would disagree with you, because the word romantic implies that there's a level of illusion to it. The idea that they are romantic is, you know, like The Notebook with Ryan Gosling and
who doesn't what's her cry name, right? in that? And
but that's not
Rachel
real.
McAdams.
Rich, thank you. But that's not real life.
Yeah.
I would argue the Raptors are maybe showing us what real life could look like. Like, it's not romantic. It's actually happening. And the only people who don't know are the ones who are in power. The only ones who don't know are the ones who do represent the traditional way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're getting outnumbered. And they're getting outvoiced. And they're not qualified to move forward. And I think that's very scary for a lot of people.
Are we talking sports or politics right now?
Well, this is what I mean. Is like I think it's a reflection of the way politics is moving. It's a reflection of the way culture is moving. What I got really excited about when I saw 2 million people out in the street celebrating the Raptors wasn't just the victory of my favorite Toronto team and my favorite team in the world.
Yeah.
What I saw was a bunch of people who got together in a different way than they ever have before. I was at the Wendell Clark goodbye party back in 1993 when he got traded to, or 94 when he got traded to Quebec. And it was a few thousand people. It was organized by my dad, who was the program director at the Fan at the time.
Hmm.
And it didn't look like that crowd.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a race versus race thing.
Yeah, I don't want, like, it's not the Leafs' fault.
What it
if
is.
If there's more white people that follow that than basketball.
Right, and I don't think this is about race.
Because I don't think that'd be fair to the Maple Leafs or MLSC.
What I do think, though, is there are a lot of people who don't define themselves according to the mainstream. And hockey is as mainstream as it gets.
In this geographical
area. I'm going to drop names here, but Maestro Fresh West once said to me, Canada is rock, hockey, and beer. Mm-hmm. And he said that to me 15 years ago. We kind of just nodded our head. We were having pad thai at Queen Mother.
Yeah.
And he said that. And I remember thinking, for all of its sort of pithiness, it's a pretty wise way of, like, just being honest about who we are. I don't think we are that anymore.
What are we? I mean, because now...
We're changing.
Yeah.
And I think the Raptors are not... I think Raptors are part of that change.
Yeah. My thing is I agree with you, and the change is a good thing. I just don't want to ever frame this that somehow what's going on the Raptors makes the Leafs look bad in any sort of way.
It's not that it makes
and them also rock and hockey and beer are all awesome things. What's more awesome is then when you throw in some pad thai, other foods, other drinks, and other music as well.
But I would argue that for many years in this country, the rock, hockey, and beer crew had no interest in pad thai or other things. In fact, they looked down on all those things.
The looking of the down is the bad thing.
It is the bad thing. Yeah. And I think for a lot of people who represented these other communities, they're like, okay, well, don't look down on us.
Yeah.
I never really felt like what was really interesting, I think it was Vivek Jacob, wrote a really interesting article about...
He's good. I've had him on the show a couple times.
He's really a smart kid.
Yeah.
And he wrote an interesting piece about being an immigrant and coming to Canada and how his otherness was kind of captured by the Raptors because they were Toronto's other team.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good piece.
It was a really good piece. And I think there's truth to it because the other isn't other anymore. Mm-hmm. There's numbers there.
Yeah.
And there's momentum there. And I think people have to get with it. Mm-hmm. You know, this arbitrary, and that's why I'm saying, like, the hockey versus basketball, it's an old and arbitrary distinction. I don't think basketball will ever take over hockey. But what will happen is all these things will blend in a way that they weren't allowed to before. Because you know as well as I do, we're old enough and we've been around sports media long enough to know there was almost an ideological position that said hockey has to be number one.
Yeah.
Like the fife and drum band at a police parade. You know? Like there was a turf you were defending.
Yeah.
This is who we've been. Yeah. This is who we're going to be.
Yeah. And it was always ridiculous. And I was like, well, fine. You want hockey to be number one for you? Great. But doesn't have to be number one for everyone. You know, like the level of passion that people would do, hockey's the best. I'm like, all right, just enjoy the game and let's tone it down and let's not look down, as you say, on other sports or other things.
So in the free market, the numbers dictate what your reality and what your mainstream is going to be.
Yeah.
I think what we're seeing is other things are lifting.
Yeah.
You know, and the Leafs will never go away and they will always be huge and they will probably always be the biggest thing, but it's not going to be by a country mile.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be like Leafs versus the field.
Oh yeah. Oh no, 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 no. On that, we've seen the TV numbers, and what's really curious is what will 10 years from now be?
Right, and 20 years, and 30 years. Like, what becomes normal to people who are growing up in this?
Six Canadians were drafted. That's the highest number. And some people still talk about the effect that Vince and the early Raptors had. Well, whatever that impact has, just think about what this run is going to have in Canada. And also, the cool thing about basketball, about just being global, well, the MVP, as... Of the league, as Masai Ujiri said, is from Nigeria. Might have been born in Greece, but he's Nigerian. The rookie of the year was Slovenian. The defensive player of the year was French. And the most improved player of the year was from Cameroon. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And I think that's probably why Masai stayed. And you could kind of hear it in what he was saying was, this is a global project now.
Yeah.
And he is uniquely suited to spearhead the global vision of the NBA.
Yep.
It could become the biggest league in the world in 100 years. I don't know if it ever replaced soccer.
No.
But could it be bigger than EPL or La Liga internationally? Maybe.
Maybe.
Could it be bigger than F1 internationally? I don't know, Matt. All I know is 50 years ago, everyone was into boxing and horse racing.
Yeah. Those days. By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
Talking about, corporations.
Yeah.
There's some corporations I love.
Oh, one of them? Which ones?
One of them? Small mom and pop one. It's not giant.
So not really a corporation.
No, it's not like Ticketmaster. Woo, they'll get you and everyone you love. No, it's Seat Giant at seatgiant.ca. And you use them. Why? Because they're Canadian owned. They're a small little company. But what they do, they stand by the customer experience for all your concert tickets, sporting event tickets, everything and anything in North America. And you go to the discount code. You use Bob and Matt. You save some money. What you do with that money, that's not me for to tell you. That's for you to do what you want to do. But the great thing is you save some money. We get a small kickback. Seatgiant.ca. Bob, we've only got about a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then let me quickly say I was at the Argos home opener. Holy jeez.
I'm so sorry. Oh, God.
I was glad to be there because we witnessed history.
You witnessed history.
The worst smell that Lake Ontario has ever issued forth.
I may have said the Argonauts are going to have a sneaky good offense.
You did say that.
It's still time.
And I sent you back a note. It must be very, very, very sneaky.
And I texted back, very.
Yeah, this is if this is rope-a-dope,
yeah,
they're really roping and doping.
Oh, boy.
It was so bad. Yeah. You know when I knew it was going to go wrong, even though there was no logic to it, was some
the fumble return touchdown at the end that pushed it to 64-14?
No, not that. It was pretty over by then, although that was spectacular.
Yeah.
Some linebacker in the first like 6 minutes picked off Jeremiah Masoli.
Yep.
And then ran it back and then fumbled it.
Yeah.
And I looked at that. And you know that moment? It was kind of like Vince's shot clanging off the rim where there's no logic to it, but you just say,
yeah,
this is worse than it appears. I know it.
Oh, yeah. I was watching. Thankfully, I was
dark times ahead.
Yeah. Ooh, for another podcast. Things that just like are the worst killers, even though it doesn't mean your team necessarily lose. Like what's worse? You got a 5 minute, you got a 2 minute 5-on-3 and you don't score. Or you get an interception and then you fumble it back. You're like, oh, like those are two just, or
bases, it was so deflating seeing the defense still standing there.
Or bases loaded, nobody out, and you don't score. Like every sport has their wild, this is so deflating thing. We have no time for it today.
Okay, but why don't we do a top five next week?
Yeah.
Most deflating things that can happen in each game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the soccer own goal.
Oh my God.
Or is it not scoring on a penalty?
Yeah, like not scoring a penalty kick. Yeah, that could absolutely be.
As per Canada. Right. And anyway, so we got to get going,
right? We got to get going. My mustard pants and candy cane shirt. Got to get out of here, Bob.
I got a new pair of Birkenstocks. And by new, I mean I've never worn Birkenstocks before. Mm-hmm. But I've having issues with plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
So I need the support.
Yeah.
But I hate them so much. So I'm going to wear them this week and I'll report back to you next week.
Yeah.
Life with... I've never walked around. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like I'm some kind of like... sociology professor.
You're going to see what happens?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess fewer women are going to throw themselves at you.
It's going to go from none to minus.
There'll be an 18% reduction in attractive women throwing themselves at you.
Well, I'll have to weather that storm.
Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Matt. Ch-ch-ca.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.